on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So then where do you gauge Mac's overall comfort with some of the changes? Because I think we've seen him maybe more this summer than last, tucking and running or scrambling or eating the ball. Like, is he seeing things the way you would like him to see with some of the changes that are happening?
Look, again, we all have things we can improve in. There's some plays that the quarterback can play better. There's some plays that the quarterback's right and there's a breakdown in protection. Some plays where the quarterback's right and there's a breakdown in the route. It's a variety of things. Same thing for coaching or playing any of the position on the field. It's good things. There's all things we got to work on. That's what we go back in and talk about. So when they all hit on one play, sometimes that's good. Sometimes it's a mistake by the other side that causes it to look good, but really isn't good. So that's what training camp and coaching and watching practice is for.
You know what, Maz? One more thing, too. What bull crap Bill and Mac Jones, too, were spinning yesterday.
Absolutely.
Like, all this, yeah, you hit on it yesterday, and I sort of, kind of went over my head, but it's like, No. You don't understand. It's like I'm listening to Matt Chatham. It's like the play blows up. It has no chance. And Bill comes out here and says, well, you know, if you have 10 guys doing the right thing and one guy doing the wrong thing, well, then it's a bad play. But if you really look at it further, it's the 10 plays doing the right. It's like a blocked punt. 10 guys are doing the right thing. One guy blows the assignment. It's a blown play. You look at all these plays. You know, there's all sorts of elements. There's 12 guys on one side, 11 guys on one side, 11 guys on the other. Maybe the defense made a mistake that actually caused the defense. This is what he was just saying here. Maybe the defense made a play that caused, you know, made a mistake that caused him to make a play where they really made a mistake and the play should have worked, but it didn't. What a butt. And then Mac Jones says it's just that remaining 2%.
Correct.
2%?
Correct.
What a spin job from those guys yesterday.
Oh, it's blatant. Blatant. Again, and I also think it's, okay, so then the opposite is also true. So when there's a good play, then you got lucky?
What a freaking weasel liar face.
Totally.
Weasel liar face.
I like it, liar face.
Greg, the next time you talk to him, I want you to tell him that. That performance yesterday was a weasel liar face kind of performance. Are you there?
I'm writing that down.
Let me,
liar face.
Weasel liar face. Greg, are they 2% away on offense?
Not even close. Nope. Not even close. I mean, you guys are exactly right. Look, I can't.
Of course.
I am not one. I'm not prone to hyperbole. I tell you, if it's good football, I'm in a good mood. I can't wait to tell everybody. When it's bad football, I'm miserable and I'm very irritable and more than usual. And during this camp, I the other day on what was it, Monday when they practiced, when they decided to finally practice again, I was despondent. Watching the practice, it was the worst NFL training camp football, offensive football that I have ever seen. I mean, they can't. At that point, they couldn't do anything right. And I'm not overstating it. That of the plays that they've run since the first day of camp, about 75% of them are train wrecks. I mean, absolute train wrecks. Stuffs. Passes that have no chance. I mean, even the good plays, and I know we've seen some of the beat writers have come out with, look at Mac Jones's completion percentage this year compared to last year. Yeah, because the only thing they can complete is a 5-yard flat pass where no one's out there. That's literally the only pass they can complete in camp. It has been a complete, total train wreck. And for them to say they're 2% away or whatever they're spinning, it's a complete lie. It's a complete lie.
What's the biggest problem, Greg?
They can't block. They can't block anything. And here's the thing. You know, I was just going through my one-on-one numbers from the pass rush drills, the tabulating them to this point. And the offensive line in those one-on-one pass rush drills has, I think they basically won every practice or been very close. Like they've been beating the defensive linemen. You look at some of the guys' numbers, like even Christian Barmore, who's really good. He's only won 58% of his one-on-one snaps. So the offensive line is doing a good job. When it's
individually
one-on-one, I know what I have to do. I don't have to think about, you know, reaching this blocker or, you know, whatever. I just have to concentrate on the guy in front of me. And then when they get out there and they try to run a play and outside zone, the inside zone and the gap stuff that they've run has been fine on the inside. But it's this new stuff. They cannot figure out who to block, whether it's the running game or the passing game. And it's just complete anarchy out there. The only thing I can compare it to is in 2007, my final training camp covering the Dolphins before I went to cover the Packers. It was Cam Cameron's first year. I think they ended up going 1-15 that year. It's like Cleo Lemon, John Beck. I mean, just horrible offensive football. And that's the only thing I can compare it to. I haven't seen anything like this ever.
Okay, so Greg, amplify that point then. Okay, so, and I'm probably putting words in your mouth here, but work with me. I mean, if I asked you, you know, which side has more talent, the offensive line or the defensive line, who do you say?
That's a tough question. I mean, it's hard for me.
But here's my point. Let me stop you then. Yeah. I would argue the offensive line has more proven talent. So they should win the one-on-one battles. I'm not surprised that you would say that. What you're really talking about is their ability to work together. So what is that a reflection on? Is that just because it's new? They haven't been coached properly? Or what is the issue there?
I would say it is... I think it's just when they get into the team stuff, you know, what they're asking these guys to do. I think they don't have a lot of confidence. It takes a lot of practice to get this right, this outside zone stuff that they obviously want to do or are at least trying to do at this point. And, you know, you got to have the right angle. You have to have the right read. You know, it takes a lot of repetition. And
did they start too late, Greg?
Yeah, I mean, let's get to that point later or at some other point. But to finish my point, I think that starts the drill or the practice or what have you. And then these guys lose confidence as they're going. And by the end of practice, they're not sure what to do. And now the quarterback's lost confidence. It just every practice, it just seems to get worse and worse as they go on. And to me, it starts with, you know, what they're being asked to do as far as a scheme that nobody has any confidence in it, and it just goes worse from there.
And does that include Mac Jones? Give me a thought on where you think his head's at right now.
Yeah, I think it absolutely includes Mac Jones. I think that he had his doubts in the offseason about what they were doing and the direction that they were going, and this start to camp has only confounded his fears and, you know, has led him to be frustrated. And I don't know this for a fact, but just watching him and talking to people that, you know, he's questioning everything that's going on and where they're going. And if they don't start seeing success very quickly, the Patriots are either going to have to change streams or they risk losing the players. And that includes Mac Jones, the most important guy. I mean, the other day on Monday, he was completely flustered. I mean, I know you guys read it yesterday. There were a couple plays where I was like, did he really try on that play? Or did he just say, like, this has no chance and just throw it out there, you know, whether it was to Kendrick Bourne or there was a pass to J.J. Taylor, like a little check down where he had to scramble and J.J. Taylor's right there and he bounces it 4 yards in front of him. It didn't even have a chance. For the first time ever, I looked at Mac Jones and I'm like, is he all in on this? Does he believe in what's going on here? And if they don't get success soon, I think that's a real fear.
How'd you feel about him yesterday? So he, you know, the words were confident. If you read the transcript, it all sounded good. Do you think, I don't know, was he coached up there or did he really feel something yesterday? Because it did turn around a little bit yesterday on the field.
It was a little bit better because it was like 75%. The pass rush eased up a bit. No, I did not believe what he had to say. I think that there was some sort of discussion, whether that was among the players or, you know, what have you on, you know, maybe the coaches were telling them in the meeting, hey, maybe they showed them a bunch of film that said, hey, look, if we do this a little bit better, then we're not that far away, and they kept, you know, maybe reinforcing that because they do need to do some of that. I'm not dispelling that and saying like that's not reality. Sometimes you have to create your own reality to get players to buy in, and I think perhaps some of that was done yesterday before practice, and the players sort of bought in, and then they went out there. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if they say, "Hey, ease up on the pass rush a little bit." But still, there's nothing down the field at all. I mean, I forget what it's like to watch Devontae Parker and Kendrick Bourne and Nelson Agholor catch balls down the field. I mean, it's really the offense that they're trying to run, and they have to do it because that's where it's been such a disaster. They have gone back to, like, this feels like a high school install. Let's get the basics down. Let's dump the ball into the flat. Let's check it down just to gain a little confidence. That's where it feels like they're at right now.
Okay, now let's get to the schedule part of it. Is there any indication you had that they installed this stuff late or later than you normally would, or Mac Jones feels it was installed late? Furthermore, their practice schedule so far this year, pulling out of pads that third day, well, I guess Wednesday of last week, giving them the weekend off, Greg. And in that weekend off, there was a Hall of Fame induction ceremony, and Bill, I don't think, was even in Canton. I think Bill and Patricia might have been off on the island. And so they gave the players off. It wasn't even for the coaches to go to Canton. They come back and have a Monday afternoon practice after being in the morning for the previous, whatever, eight or so sessions. So just your thought on all this, the practice schedule, has it fed into the slow start?
I don't know if the practice schedule has. I mean, I just think from observing the NFL, and I've been covering the NFL for 20 years and watching, you know, different versions of offenses and things like that being installed. This is a highly precise, highly rhythmic blocking scheme and offense where it's, you can't paint by numbers. Like, you need an expert. You at least need a Kyle Shanahan or a Sean McVay, or, you know, Taylor in Cincinnati, or LaFleur in Green Bay, guys who have been in it for years, who have seen it installed. All these guys have installed it at different places, saw how it worked, what kind of schedule. I'm sure Bill got this from Kyle Shanahan or Sean McVay. Whatever. Hey, how'd you do this? And because we want to do some of this at least. And it takes a lot of time. The zone blocking scheme, I've sat in on offensive line meetings and with offensive line coaches talking about it. And it is much more than the previous blocking scheme. There is, you have to be precise. And I'm talking about when you watch the offensive line, everybody's foot needs to go in the same direction, same angle at the same time. The handwork needs to be perfect and it needs to hit the blocker at the right time for things to work. And I just don't know, without having an expert, whether that's a Shanahan or even an offensive line coach, like, you know, like a Alec Gibbs who, you know, installed it in Denver and things like that. Without having that, because we have seen it work, we've seen it installed a bunch of different players and places and work quickly. Without having those guys there who know exactly how to install it and what it's supposed to look like and exactly the time frame that you need to hit things, I just look at it and I think they've half-assed a lot of this stuff. And that includes the schedule and the install. And I think they overestimated the expertise that you need and the time that you need to put into really doing this if you want to do it.
Well, that's just great.
And I think you meant underestimated, but I think we get what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. So let's get to all that, folks. We'll take your call, 617-779-0985. We have an update. We do have to do three up, three down so far from camp. We'll stay on the regular Big Boy Tuesday schedule. So
I love the regular Big Boy schedule.
Three up, three down so far at camp, coming your way after the headlines. Don't go anywhere.
Oh, we could fly.
This is your summer. That means Six Flags and the taste of an ice-cold Coca-Cola. We're talking thrilling coasters, delicious burgers, yes, real moments together, and this. Coke is summer refreshment when you need it most, so you can hop on another ride or race down a slide at the water park. This is your summer. Six Flags and Coca-Cola. Come make it yours. Visit sixflags.com/Coke to save up to $20 on passes. We can fly.
is a purely a take that exists in my head.
Getting into your head.
Let me tell you what's in our head.
With hot sports takes.
And we share it with you.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And now, it's time for three.
Jones with time. Throwing the deep ball down the left side.
What a throw.
Three down.
This is one of the worst throws he's had.
With Greg Bedard from BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
Bucks win the Super Bowl. And then the cannons go. Fire him.
Three down.
He sucks.
He blows.
On Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right. One of our favorite parts of the week. Three up, three down with Bedard. It's usually off the previous game, but let's go. Training camp so far. Maz, of course, will chime in, even though
I haven't been down there. I want to go first. I want to go first just to see if what I'm reading and what I'm hearing is in line.
Excellent.
With what the big boy has at the buffet every day.
Okay.
In front of him. That's what I want to know.
You ready, Greg?
I am ready.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay, he's there. Good. All right, you have to make sure, given the current technical climate. Three up, three down, number one star from camp so far, Maz.
Christian Barmore. Everything I read is that he has been a monster. He's been a force. So I think, based on what I read, my instinct was Barmore has been the best player down there.
Greg.
Fair. I went with a little bit of a different three up, sort of guys who surprised me the most, who have stood out. So I am going to go with undrafted free agent defensive tackle LeBrian Ray out of Alabama, who has come out of nowhere to be the new Adam Butler. I mean, if he hasn't locked up a roster spot already, I'd be shocked.
I did read this the other day when Butler became available that they have LeBrian Ray
now. No. Are you being sarcastic?
Of course he's not.
No.
Are you serious? So you're serious? Say the kid's name again.
LeBrian Ray. Remember the name. I didn't know who the hell he was either, but he's out there winning one-on-one battles. He's in the starting sub package. Like, LeBrian Ray, watch him on Thursday night. He's a guy to watch.
It's French for LeBrian.
Okay, I like it. Number two star, Maz.
Devontae Parker. Again, now the passing game has sucked, but the early reports on Parker early in camp were pretty good. And, you know, all indications are that he'll be an ad and an asset and a plus player for them. So I think Devontae Parker's at a good camp.
Greg.
Jalen Mills. To me, he is clearly, no doubt, the number one cornerback on this team. I think he's played really well. He's been a very pleasant surprise in camp so far. Of course, it might help that he's going against an offense that can't throw the ball more than 5 yards downfield, but that's where we are.
Just so you know, I'm not lying. Jalen Mills, number three on my list. I had him number two, and I had Parker third, and I flip-flopped him just because I felt like it. And it's a good thing I did, but Jalen Mills has played well from everything I've read.
Who's your number three, Greg?
My number three, just to say consistent, it's like an annual thing when I throw out names you've never heard of, Felger. It's an annual tradition. Arlington Hambright. He's been around a little bit. He's 26. He's a guard. He's been really, really good in camp so far and, you know, could be pushing for time at some point.
Arlington Hambright.
I didn't make up that name. I'm not making up these names. They're real names.
Do you think Greg understands the purpose of this exercise? No.
It sounds like a British paleontologist.
Yeah, Arlington Hambright. Yeah, like, okay. What's your name from Ted Lasso?
Three down. Let's go, Greg. Or who wants to go first? You want to go first, Maz?
Yeah, I want to go first. Yeah. Three down. Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick. The offense has been a disaster. They got two clowns coaching the offense. They're hanging Mac Jones out to dry. Like, camp is about the coaching. It's almost entirely about the coaching. It's about getting the team ready for the start of the season. They don't feel ready to me down there. They felt like they were not ready for camp. I don't know who else to point the finger at other than Bill. I mean, really, where else do you go? I can't even point it at Patricia and Judge because they're miscast. I go Bill number one.
Greg?
I will point it at Matt Patricia. My number one down is Matt Patricia. I mean, he's in charge of this disaster on offense, especially the offensive line, which is the crux of all the problems. The offense is fine 7-on-7, and I don't know if you guys remember this, but in the offseason workouts, you know, a lot of other writers were like, oh, the Patriots are doing awesome and on offense. Mac Jones is lighting things up. And I was the only one to say, yeah, but how do you do when it was 11-on-11? It did not look very good, even back in the offseason. And to me, all the problems on this team start with the offensive line. Who's in charge of the offensive line, or at least, you know, in his part-time role, maybe sometimes coaching them? It's Matt Patricia.
Number two dud there, Mass.
I went Mac Jones, and I know there's a lot of issues on that offense, particularly with the offensive line. But you know what? You're the quarterback. And that story that came on the last couple of days, the image of David Andrews addressing the group to get their act together, bothered me that it wasn't Mac Jones. I know Andrews is a senior guy, but to me, Jones is the head of the offense. Jones has got to take it by the horns, and he's not doing that. I don't feel good about him right now.
But, Dart, who's your number two?
Cole Strange, the first-round draft pick. I'm sure he'll be a fine player, and he might even on Thursday night or what have you. But to this point, right now, he has not been good in camp, and he's part of the issue on the offensive line. He is having... he's having trouble with the scheme. He has trouble in team, in one-on-ones. The only other offensive lineman who has a worse loss rate than him is Bill Murray, the converted guy who converted from defensive tackle to the offensive. Bill Murray went from defensive line last year to offensive line, and he's the only offensive lineman with a worse one-on-one record than Cole Strange, who I have is 2-6-1. He's gotten off to a rough start. He has trouble against power. He has trouble figuring out the scheme. He's been on skates at times. I know better days are ahead for him. I think he's going to be a really good player. I do think going from UT Chattanooga and his size, he's a tall guy, but he's not very thick. He's thin, especially in the lower body, which you worry about with interior offensive linemen. I think, you know, right now he might be a better tackle than a guard. But he's gotten off to a really rough start.
Can he be a starter?
He has to. Well, he's going to be. But
to start the year, if he looks like this, is he going to start?
Yeah, he will. I mean, they have to justify the draft pick. You don't, you know, take this guy out of UT Chattanooga and have the rest of the NFL yucking it up without you trying to make sure that he's a good player. Of course, it helps if you have an offensive line coach who knows what he's doing and is actually coaching the offensive line, which probably isn't helping a kid like Cole Strange to this point.
All right, third down there, Mass.
I'll go quickly. Kendrick Bourne, I'm basing that on Mike Giardi said that he hasn't had a good camp, and I haven't read a lot about Kendrick Bourne.
Greg.
Ronnie Perkins, the third-round pick from last year, basically sort of redshirted last year. He's come out this year, hasn't really done very much. He looks really small. The offensive tackles basically toss him a lot on one-on-one drills. It's hard to see. He's losing time to Anthony Jennings and other people. He's running on the third team. It's just been a rough start.
Okay, there you got it. Three up, three down. We got a lot on the table. I know you're standing by. You want to talk to Greg about the Pats. Here's your first chance this season at 617-779-0985. To you.
You're making it happen. You're coming in hot. Hotter than hot. Hotter than the surface of the sun. Even hotter than the metal part of your seatbelt. Put it on ice with Dunkin' Iced, like the new brown sugar cream cold brew or the new mango pineapple Dunkin' Refreshers. Whew. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
Popular afternoon radio show in Boston.
I don't want to know what this means.
Felger and Mass.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do know what you're talking about.
I don't even know what I'm talking about. Like, what? I don't know what that is.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Matt, would you say there's a lot of confidence and buy-in that eventually or ultimately this new offense will work?
Yeah. I think right now there's nothing to focus on besides watching the tape and figuring out what we can do better. You can always assume things, but, you know, I've been in different offenses and a lot of guys on our team have, and we feel confident about it. And that just has to come with reps and in-game reps, too. We got to see it on tape and see how it looks. And just the buy-in has to be the buy-in. You have to trust it. And but at the end of the day, we're going to figure it out and make this thing work. And we have good coaches that are laying the path for us, and we just have to see it how they see it and come together and dominate together.
Speaking some words there, but I think that little pause at the beginning betrays it. And he brings up all the relevant topics just in a positive context, as if to address the coaching. But we've got great coaches. And, you know, we've got to make sure that we're all communicating in it together. And we have great offensive linemen to do it. And it's just sort of that's how he's done it these last couple weeks. You know, it's sort of calling it out in a positive light, but still calling it out, if you know what I mean. Like, it's I think it's his way of sort of letting us know how he feels.
Yeah, he's identifying his biggest areas of concern.
And saying they're great, I love them, but he's bringing them up.
Correct.
You know, it's like...
very passive-aggressive.
Oh, my God, it's the most passive-aggressive thing ever. It'd be like, so let me just try to give you a real quick, a real-world example here. It's like, you know, it's great when people eat in the studio and bring onion sandwiches into the studio. You know, it's all just about getting together, and it's, you know, it's great. I love Zoe, and I love onion sandwiches. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to continuing to work here in a place that smells like a giant onion sandwich. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like, I feel like that's what he's doing with the coaching and the offensive line and all of that.
Yeah. No, we have good coaches.
All right. Greg, are you still there? I just want to check in.
I am here.
Okay. Let's go to some calls here with Greg. Jose and Revere with a very pertinent question. Go ahead, Jose.
Hey, what's up, guys? Guys, I'm wondering why no one's asked the Mad Genius why he's doing this. He's running offense for the last 20 years. He had success with it last year. So what is the point of switching to this new style offense? Heck, even Tom Brady even took this type of offense.
What do you mean Tom Brady took this kind of offense? You're cutting out on me. I don't get the Brady point, but you asked the pertinent question. Greg, why are they doing this?
Well, I mean, first of all, Bill's never going to answer that question. He's just going to grumble and say, we're doing what's in the best interest of the team. Why are they doing it? I think it's a combination of they don't have the coach on staff that could continue what Josh McDaniels did. And I think they're trying to simplify everything for the coaches and the players so that they can get up to speed a little bit quicker, because Bill has seen this scheme take hold quickly in other places. So he says, why not here?
So it's for his coaches again, really more than the players, because Mac, we all have to admit, felt pretty comfortable as a rookie in the existing system.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think it's more tilted towards the coaches. I mean, it's a complicated scheme. You need to be able to teach it the right way. You need to be able to, you know, game plan a certain way. I just think that there's no, when they decided for whatever reason not to promote Nick Caley, and who knows what the reason is, especially with some of the decisions Bill has made in recent years as far as who he promotes and doesn't promote and who's leaving and things like that. I mean, who else was going to pick up the mantle from Josh and keep going with what they were doing? There's no one else to do that. So they figured, let's do this. Maybe Matt Patricia has some sort of zone blocking background from back when he played in college. It's mostly about the coaches.
Okay, that's scary. John in the truck, what are your thoughts, John?
Well, I think you guys are overblowing the Mac Jones resentment, or how you have it. Tom Brady threw temper tantrums for 20 years. He pointed fingers at players. He had arguments with Billy O'Brien. And you guys never made a big deal out of it. So, I mean, the guy's frustrated. They're trying something new. But it's not as bad as you guys are making it out. He's talking to his agent. He's going to be out of here. I mean, come on. Look.
Well, no one's saying anything about talking to his agent. No one's saying anything about him being out of here. I think the last 3 years of Tom Brady's Patriots career, all we did was complain about his body language and his lack of buy-in and his pissing and moaning and bitching all the time and his sourpuss. So that's all we did. That caller is like isn't living in an alternate Felger and Maz universe. Like, he got it all 100% wrong.
Or he's new to the show.
No, right. He got everything backwards, including the part. Brady in the early years of his career did almost no bitching at all. Brady just took the coaching. In fact, I even remember him saying at one point when they were going through some bumps, our guys just need to listen to the coaches. I remember that might have been in 09. Just do what our coaches tell them to do. He just flipped somewhere in the middle. That guy clearly doesn't listen to the show. Look, what I said yesterday was...
Brady was a perfect soldier.
Go ahead, Greg.
Brady was a perfect soldier early on in his career. He did exactly what the coaches wanted. No more. Didn't bitch. Mac Jones is in year two. And we're not saying he's complaining, but if you've been out to practice at least once, if not every day, He's clearly frustrated. He's clearly not happy with what's going on, and he clearly is questioning whether this is going to work or not. Are they wasting time on stuff they don't need to waste time on, and that could take away from the on-field product down the line?
We've got Nate in the truck. He's got a thought for us. Hi, Nate.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Hey, Greg.
Good, Nate. Go ahead, please.
Seeing how you guys named off no-name guys there on the three-up, seeing how Josh McDaniels only took him, what, 2-3 months to go ahead and get Davante Adams, was there a telltale sign to see that there was something going on in Foxborough that Josh had to leave, and seeing how Bill wanted to run things?
So it's a good question, Greg. Why did Josh choose now to leave when it felt like he had, you know, we all know he had other opportunities, never mind Indianapolis, probably some others there along the way. If he had sort of waited, you would think that he would have had more as well. Why did he leave when he left?
Well, I think he would have left, I think it was the year before. I forget the timing of it. But, you know, the Carolina Panthers job and the Giants job, Matt Rhule got the Panthers job. And of course, Joe Judge got the Giants job. I think he would have left at that time. That would have been probably better timing for everybody if he would have gotten one of those jobs. And those are all, both of those situations are long stories. But, you know, why did he leave now, feel the need to leave and maybe not hold on and wait for Bill? I think the crux of it has to do with Bill doesn't tell anybody anything. No one knows any timetable, what he's doing, when he's going to do it, what does he have in mind as far as personnel. There's no communication at all, and that leads guys to, you know, which we're probably seeing right now with Nick Caley, who is probably letting his contract run out. This is probably the final year of his contract, and he's probably going to be gone after this season from things that I've heard. So, and we've seen a steady stream of guys do that because there is no communication at all. And I think, Josh, it helped lead to some of the confusion with Indy that there wasn't any communication until the very end, until he suddenly, you know, the days before he rejected Indianapolis. And I think the unique opportunity was in Las Vegas for Mark Davis, a hands-off owner. Those are increasingly rare right now. Dave Tepper in Carolina is, you know, up Matt Rhule's rear end as far as personnel and coaching. You know, guys who have, the Haslams have meetings every Tuesday or Monday with the head coach. Like, in Vegas, Ziegler and McDaniels could do whatever they want, and Mark Davis isn't going to interfere. And I think it was just a combination of those things where they said it was too good to pass up.
Okay. Yes, Maz, you're smirking.
Well, no, when you said, why did he choose now to leave, I couldn't help. Remember that old line by Michael Ray Richardson who played for the Knicks? The ship be sinking.
We've got more with Greg Bedard. No commercials, just an update from Big Jim Murray. When we come back, I got some stuff around the team that we have not hit on over the last couple of weeks that I want to get to with Greg, beyond just the obvious and the most important thing, which is the offense and the coaching and Mac Jones. Some things beyond that I want to get to with Greg up and down the roster. We'll do it again right after the headlines. No commercials.
Not Your Neighborhood Packy. High Profile Bodega is Boston's locally owned go-to dispensary, offering an exclusive selection of premium cannabis products and the best bundles in the city. Re-up with their bundles featuring cannabis cup-winning cloud cover, the Build Your Own Pre-Roll 5-Pack, or their Bodega Run Edibles Bundle. They're wicked pesa. Whether you're a beginner, coming back to the industry, or a connoisseur, come visit them in Dot and take advantage of their free parking. Located at 43 Freeport Street right off Dot Ave, or explore High Profile Cannabis. Please consider responsibly. This product may cause impairment and may be habit forming. There may be health risks associated with consumption of this product. This product has not been analyzed or approved by the Food and Drug Administration. There is limited information on the side effects of using this product, and there may be associated health risks. Marijuana use during pregnancy and breastfeeding may pose potential harms. It is against the law to drive or operate machinery when under the influence of this product. Keep this product away from children. There may be health risks associated with the consumption of this product. Marijuana can impair concentration, coordination, and judgment. The impairment effects of edible marijuana may be delayed by 2 hours or more. In case of accidental ingestion, contact Poison Control Hotline at 1-800-222-1222 or 911. This product may be illegal outside of Massachusetts. Massachusetts State License Number MR284013.